The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. 713-780-3776. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel, comment on there, which we've had some good discussion on there as well. And I don't know how we got on college football today, but I'm enjoying it. I'll talk college football any day of the week.
Well, the Wall Street Journal did something. It's funny that we started talking about this. It just came out today, ranking college football's 15 most valuable programs. And this doesn't take into account the whole entire athletic department, but if you've got a highly profitable
so basically
football program.
If we could buy a program, this is how much it would
this
cost
is how much the brand is worth.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay. And you did the top 15, right?
I didn't do it. The Wall Street Journal did.
Okay.
Clemson, the most notable omission from the top 15. And it says, obviously, their brand is expanding, but they've got a long way to go because they haven't been a blue blood for all that long, really. The Big Ten distributed more than $50 million to each of its 12 schools that got full revenue shares in fiscal 2018, it says. Around $7 million more per school than the SEC. And new totals for the 2019 fiscal year are expected this May. So that's the next time we'll get like an update. But this is basically on 2018 numbers.
Okay.
Number 15 is Nebraska.
Interesting.
And they're, obviously, they... things haven't been Nebraska level for quite some time.
Well, I wonder where they were in this list 20 years ago.
Oh, I'm sure they were near the top. Their brand is worth $471.6 million.
Okay, I'm not buying that university for that price.
You would not?
No, I'm going to
pass. You think there's a down arrow?
Yeah. I think the...
super loyal fan base. I mean,
they do have a great fan base.
Yeah.
No question.
But remember that number, $471.6 million. That's the number 15 in the country.
Okay.
And when you get to the top and you realize what a gap there is between 1 and 15, and then you start to think about what the teams below 15 must be making, it's pretty alarming. Number 14 is Wisconsin. Maybe a little surprising to me. They had a gross revenue of $73.5 million, but their brand is worth $474.6 million.
Doesn't really surprise me. When are they bad at anything?
They're usually not.
And, you know, they're not quite up there with the Ohio States and the Michigans, but don't you kind of think of them as probably the next program in the Big Ten?
Yeah. Well, no. I think of this one next.
Michigan State?
Penn State.
Penn State. Yeah, okay.
$518.8 million at number 13.
I always forget about Penn State because they got so rapey.
Yeah. I mean, but considering that happened and they're still 13th on the list.
Pretty good.
Pretty powerful brand.
Yeah.
Number 12, Aggie. $540.9 million.
So basically what they're paying Jimbo Fisher.
They said this sum comes after the Aggies invested $75 million into Jimbo Fisher over the next decade. So even with that, they are still, you know, highly valuable. $541 million.
I feel like there's value there. I feel like I would purchase that one.
Number 11, Florida. $634.9 million.
Lower than I would have thought.
Okay.
I would have thought of Florida a little more higher up on the
list. This is one I would have thought of as lower. Tennessee. But if you've ever lived in Tennessee, you realize how dominant that brand is.
It is.
Like, I lived in Nashville, where there's another SEC school in the city. No one cares.
Yeah.
It is Tennessee everywhere. And that's from Memphis to Knoxville.
And they still... Even though they're not good, you go through there, like, especially on a game day, that's the whole place stops.
Yep.
And if you've never been to a game there, I highly recommend it. You will get sick of hearing Rocky Top 400 times, But it's a fantastic experience. So, okay, I can see that.
Number nine, LSU, $852.4 million.
Seems about right.
Number eight, Auburn, $871.9 million.
Ooh, Auburn more valuable than LSU?
Yep.
Interesting.
Number seven, which, by the way, when you think about Aggie, LSU, Auburn, and obviously Alabama, spoiler, Alabama to come, like four of the top 15 most valuable programs are in the SEC West. Number 16 is Arkansas. Like they were the first one to miss it. So that tells
Arkansas,
you.
Arkansas more valuable than Clemson.
Yeah.
Wow.
Number seven, Oklahoma, $885.5 mil.
Okay.
Number six, Georgia.
Georgia.
$891 mil. Your top five, $913.4 million, Notre Dame.
Might have thought they'd be a little higher.
Well.
But, I mean, that's, you know, let's see who the top four are.
Number four, Michigan.
Okay.
$924.6 million. Number three, and now we get into the billion club.
Okay.
$1.01 billion, Alabama. Alabama football worth $1.01 billion. It says here the SEC programs, because they're obviously the top SEC program, their national ranks, the ones that weren't listed here, 16 Arkansas, 17 South Carolina, 22 Ole Miss, 31 Kentucky, 35 Mississippi State, 56 Mizzou, 61 Vanderbilt. So every SEC program is in the top 61 of this list.
I'm not buying Vanderbilt, though. Just so
Vanderbilt, $81.5 million.
That's too much for me.
That's
I'll give you $48.
You can get about 13 Vanderbilts for one Alabama. number two, The Ohio State University, $1.05 billion.
Interesting.
And then number one is Texas, $1.1 billion, which is pretty wild. I mean, the brand is always better than the football team.
Yeah.
I mean, which is pretty crazy. The only Texas, Ohio State, Alabama, the only programs valued at more than a billion. And Clemson was ranked a surprisingly low 26th nationally, with a valuation of a little more than $298 million. Longhorns boast the nation's highest adjusted revenue, $164 million for 2018 per the study. So there you go. That lets you know. And now think about this. Go back to what we were talking about. Texas, $1.1 billion. Number 15, Nebraska, $471.6 million. So, one Texas is worth two Nebraskas and like two and a half Nebraskas, basically. That's pretty wild to think about.
Yeah. That's what's coming
up. That's why the Big 12, that's why those two programs get everything.
Yeah.
Because they should.
And I want to get this texter here because he says you were comparing Syracuse and Pitt to Memphis and said it was about the same product on the field. This guy talks about Texas performance on the field. Now you say it has nothing to do with that. Hypocrite. First off, that's not hypocritical, dickweed.
Hypocrites.
Second off, two different conversations. We're talking about adding something from a competitive standpoint, which is what the ACC seems to need right now, versus something that already exists. And we specifically mentioned both. So either you weren't listening or you're just a dumb. But thank you anyway.
And Ashok sent the, look at him. What a guy. Sent the entire list.
Yeah.
So
what's the highest non-power five? That would be my question.
Okay, I'm going to find the highest non-power five and the third Big 12 program.
Yeah, and then I'd like to see what kind of where that non-power five compares with like the low end power five.
Found the third Big 12 program.
Okay,
at $277 million, Kansas State.
Wow.
So Texas is worth about five Kansas States.
So that's why, so that's even what I'm Kansas's talking about with the basketball Big 12. Doesn't make them worth more than Kansas State.
Well, this is just football.
Oh, it's
programs.
Just football. Okay. Okay.
Oklahoma State is 30th. Texas Tech 33rd.
That all seems about right.
Kansas 39. TCU 42. Iowa State 43. Still no non-Power 5s in the top 50.
Okay, I wouldn't think so.
Are you surprised? I haven't seen West Virginia. Is that right? Maybe I missed that one. I guess it's because it hasn't popped up yet. All right. Baylor 59. First non-Power 5. Well, besides Notre Dame.
Right, but they're that doesn't really count.
BYU, 60.
That makes sense.
$93 million. $93.3 million.
I think I can make
Vanderbilt.
I can make a profit with that. I'll take BYU. I'll buy that one.
How about Boise, who the whole reason we started this conversation?
Yeah.
$78.8
million. Pass.
West Virginia, all the way down at 68. $61.1 million. Where's UH? 72, $41.38 million for UH.
Seems about right.
So there you go.
Although Tillman's already spent a lot more than that on
Rice, $21.45 million. Hey, Rice.
Yeah, good for you.
I think West Virginia might be the lowest in the Power Five. Can that be? Like, I would have thought Wake Forest,
yeah,
or something like that. But I guess it looks like it's the lowest one, West Virginia.
That seems odd to me. Is it just because it's in West Virginia? I mean, wouldn't Virginia Tech be just as... Yeah, I don't know.
Number 115 out of 115, Louisiana Monroe. $6.7 million. Womp, womp.
Golly.
David Gao should buy Louisiana Monroe.
What would we do with Louisiana Monroe?
We'd call it Louisiana Monroe Map.
Probably so. Oh, man. Well, interesting stuff. I mean, and
thanks, Ashok, for sending me that full list. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm glad you would. I'm glad he was able to get the whole list.
And there's a lot of people saying no Pac-12. Well, not in the top. Number 19
is USC. I'm guessing
was Washington.
Really, Washington over USC?
Yeah, USC 23rd on the list.
Man,
well, USC. Look at the stadium they play in.
Yeah, that's
true. That's part of your value is where you play, and I mean they play in a like a 1,000-year-old stadium. UCLA right behind.
Yeah, well, USC. Same thing.
Well, but the Rose Bowl's at least it's nicer.
Yeah, but it's nicer, but it's still ancient.
Yeah, Oregon ahead of USC. It's Oregon 21, Ole Miss 22, USC 23, UCLA 24, Arizona State 25, and then Clemson 26.
Man.
Surprisingly low also, Florida State, 27.
I don't know. Florida State doesn't really surprise me because they haven't put any money into facilities and stuff there. But Clemson does surprise me.
What about Miami, 41? Is that a surprise?
Not really.
47, Louisville? Boy, Papa John.
Well,
come on, bro.
Well, he
make an investment, Papa.
He had to, remember, he had to pull out. He screwed up.
Yeah.
He's not there anymore.
R.I.P. Papa John Stadium.
Yeah. All right. Hey, guys, how much money are you paying in interest on your credit cards every month? Probably too much.
Too damn high.
It is too damn high. Why not consolidate your credit cards into just one payment at a lower fixed rate and start saving money? It's easy with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Rates are as low as 5.95% APR with autopay, much lower than the national average interest rate on credit cards, which is over 20% APR. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And guess what? They're going to deliver even more to the listeners of this show. Apply now. You'll get a special interest rate discount. You'll save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Fred. That's LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Fred for more information.
You need a taste of your own medicine, 'cause I'm sick to death for swallowing. Watch me take the wheel like you, not feel like you.
This is The Blitz.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And, yeah, totally random conversation.
Well, it all came from the Boise conversation,
which I
branched off into.
Not expect it to turn into that.
It branched off into college football that we care about,
right? Because I don't really care about Boise, yeah. But I think it would make it interesting if they were in the AAC. That's all. And you can hear Jason Braddock tonight on Late Hits. So maybe Jason, you can explain why the AAC would want those teams.
Okay,
I would like to hear it. I'm being serious because I listen on the way home. So.
Okay. And you're not going to the party. You're not going to the big party.
No, I'm not going to the big party. So it's and that party's going to be over by the time I would get there.
Well, what about me?
Well, that's a you problem.
I got to go.
And you know what? It's not like I need to be there. I mean, if the people have you, they don't need me.
You do run the map.
Yeah, well, I've got
And all the other maps are going to be represented.
Well, our map will be represented as well.
Yeah, but not as well.
Well, just because
not as handsomely.
Listen, I feel bad enough about this. I really don't need you making it worse.
What are you talking about?
Well, I feel bad that I had to miss a meeting that I'm not going to be able to go to a company party.
Okay.
So you don't need to be making it worse.
As you should.
I mean, yeah, and I'm not going to be shamed into.
Oh, you'll be shamed.
I'm not going to be shamed.
Oh, yes, you will.
Yeah, you know, it's not like I'm getting fired or anything.
Not yet.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like I should represent. But fortunately, I have. Stars at Sports Map who will represent for me.
Okay.
So there.
If you think they can hold up under the pressure.
They do just fine.
I think they're doing fine.
So, and we can just talk about Zion Williamson for an hour if you want.
I don't bet NBA, but I really thought about it yesterday because I was like, there's no way that Zion should be a 4-point favorite his first time out there. And sure enough, they lost by 4. But there's going to be added hype on this dude nonstop.
Well, especially considering the stretch he had in the fourth quarter. That's just going to make it worse.
Yeah.
Or better, depending on your perspective.
Well, listen, is the guy impressive? Certainly. The guy, he's very good. He's good at sport. But... is he the second coming? I just don't know. I tend to think probably not. But I guess I'm an eternal pessimist too.
Well, I mean I need to see a lot more. But that was a cool debut.
Yeah.
They lost, but it was a cool debut.
Cool debut for a losing debut. They get the Nugs next tomorrow night, I believe. And I believe they're favored over the Nuggets. So
how does one get into this party? It's a company party. It's not
at our boss's house.
Yeah, it's an internal thing. So unless you work here, and I'm sure everybody who works here got invited.
I don't think so either.
So, you know what? That's going to be my excuse. I wasn't invited.
I don't think that's going to work. I think they know better.
Yeah, well, they have a lot of fun stuff planned for you guys because they did try to come and involve me, and I had to say I'm not going to make it. So
it's too bad, friend. It's too bad.
There won't be a single person that will notice that I'm not.
They gave me a piece of paper with someone's name on it.
Yeah,
and said you need to learn 3 things about them tonight. Did they assign you a piece of paper?
They tried to, and I said I'm not.
You said you're not
there.
Going.
Yeah. So somebody else got my person to know 3 things about.
I should have done that.
What?
Said that I wasn't going to be there.
Well, I mean, they do realize we're on air until 7 o'clock.
Right.
And that by the time we get there that it's winding down. So I'm wondering if even the person that you have to know 3 things about might not even still be there at that point.
It's possible. In fact, maybe even probable, Fred.
Well, there you go.
And that'll be my excuse. I looked for them. I didn't know what they looked like. Does that sound like a good plan?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like, well, we were kind of on air until 7.
Yeah. And sorry. Some of us have to pay the bills around here.
I feel like that's a fair excuse.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes people don't realize that we're actually on air until 7.
Well, I think they do. They just don't care.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. It's like, eh. So why should I feel bad about not being there?
You shouldn't.
So, yeah.
I support you in this, Fred.
Well,
I got
you. It can't be helped.
I'm Team Fred. It could be helped. I mean,
how? Tell me what I'm supposed to do.
You go to the party.
Go home first, which I have to do, and give the dog her medicine and make sure she's not bleeding all over the place. And then change clothes and come all the way back over there when it'll be 9 o'clock before I get
you
there.
You could tell your dog to tough it out.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, no, there's nothing I can do.
All right.
So, and if she's okay, then I got to fend for myself eating because I would like to have the free food.
The food would be nice.
Yeah.
You're right.
But no, there's nothing I can do. That's the end of it.
Okay.
713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Why don't we let Chase has a college basketball question. So let's see what he has to say. What's up, Chase?
Hey, hey, got sports.
Hey, sports to you.
Hey, I had a college basketball question for AJ. I'm an LSU fan. We're undefeated in the SEC, but we're still not ranked. It's a day late, but what are the odds that LSU is indeed the best college basketball team in the SEC?
I'll go with, and by the way, this is all kind of grain of salty because the SEC is not very good this year. I probably have them third or fourth. I mean, they're good. They're not as good as they were last year, in my opinion. But they're solid. I think Kentucky's still better than them. I think on a neutral court, Florida's probably still better than them. Auburn is probably better than them. They're in the upper tier of it. If they had Naz Reid still, I would, and especially in a year like this where it's kind of wide open, if they still had Naz Reid, I mean, I'm sure the bag to keep him for 2 years would have been even more.
Yeah.
But if they still had him, they'd be a legit title contender this year, in my opinion. But alas, they don't have him.
And
I like him, and he's fun, or LSU's fun, so enjoy the ride. Just don't have expectations of...
Shouldn't you still be celebrating your football title
for another couple of weeks? Yeah, worry about being the best football team. You're that.
Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. No one will hold back your hair. You can look like a
man. ESPN 97.5. Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Want to let you guys know that tomorrow we will be at Sam Houston Race Park, 4 to 7. And Sunday they're having the Racing Festival, which will be the best day of racing that they'll have. It'll also be the best day of racing in the country that day. We'll have Chris Griffin on for a few minutes. We're also trying to get Trey Styles for a couple minutes to talk about the handicapping tournament that's going on Sunday, which is also very cool. Two spots to the NHC will be given away, and they're also giving you an option to take the one in 2 weeks or to take the one in next year. I'm gonna take that option. So when I win, I'll be going next year, not in 2 weeks.
Foster says, I don't think Eli's a Hall of Famer, but think he will get in. That's confusing. What are the odds he gets in if his last name wasn't Manning? If his last name was Johnson and he was still the first overall pick in the draft and he won 2 Super Bowls, he's probably getting in.
Yeah, and one thing you have to keep in mind when it comes to Hall of Fame voting is that these guys are really big on Super Bowl wins.
Yeah.
And you get more than one as a quarterback, you're all but in. And I heard Barry and Joel trying to make a case for Keenan McCardle today, and it was...
What?
I almost called in and it gave him grief over it because they liked the guy, because they were looking at his numbers and they're similar to Michael Irvin's. Yeah, except for
three Super Bowl titles.
Oh, stop that.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to get wide receivers. And Keenan McCardell, I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah, that's her boy. They were just making a case for him.
I get it, but...
But yeah, I was
good player for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, and deserves and
had an, you know what he got for that? A big fat paycheck, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and you know, he probably doesn't have to buy a drink in Jacksonville to this day.
Keenan McCardell, a one-time Pro Bowler. No, two-time Pro Bowler.
How many All Pros?
Zero.
Oh, that's crickets.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm going to go no. That doesn't get it done. Never had more than 8 touchdowns. No, he had 9 touchdowns once. Yeah, we're talking about Andre Johnson maybe not being a Hall of Famer. Sorry, Keenan.
Well, and we've done this before. We go through receivers and how difficult
it's tough,
it is.
Man.
Yeah, especially in this era where everybody's putting up big numbers. I have a Texans story for you. That we knew the Texans defense was not good last year, right?
Was it not?
Well, now, and again, I'm really iffy on Pro Football Focus, but they do their ratings for the entire defense. And I'm going to give you, since 2014, what their ratings have been. And then there's one of them that stands out that I think is total, this is why I don't trust PFF. But
yeah,
2014, they were 13th with a 76.1. 2015, 85.1, fourth. These are all under Cornell.
Okay.
2016, 81.0, which was sixth. 2017, 76.8, which was 20th. Oof. Here's the one that I don't buy, and we'll get to this in a minute. That was Vrabel's year, right? 2018, 90.2, which was second. Did they not watch that secondary last year? I mean...
Guess not.
I mean, they won a lot of games because... They played a lot of teams that had no quarterbacks to take advantage of them, but every time they played a good team, they got torched. But 90.2, that was the best of his career last year. 2019, care to guess the number? It is the lowest. I've already told you that.
2019?
Yeah.
It was the... what's the lowest so far?
Lowest so far is 76.1.
I'll go with... Shouldn't be much worse. 74.
How about 64.4?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that's... now, they had the third fewest takeaways with 22. They were tied for the fewest sacks. They allowed a 97.6 opposing passer rating and gave up the most yards, 6,213, and allowed 385 points.
Yeesh.
So... You don't really need grades to know that's not good.
No.
But, man, I can't believe they graded out at a 90 last year.
That's pretty wild. I wouldn't have thought that either.
Yeah. 979 says, 2 Pro Bowls, 0 All Pros, same as Eli. Again.
2 Super Bowls.
What did,
2 Super Bowls.
2 Super Bowls.
I mean,
yeah, period. That trumps everything.
Yeah.
As a quarterback, because you're responsible for those. And he beat... By the way, he beat the Patriots twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
He's a 2-time Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, but not all pro. Not all pro. Come on.
Guys, that's the same.
Yeah, and... I mean, we've tried to tell you guys for years how these old fogies think. AJ never believed me until he met him.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about T.O. not being a Hall of Famer.
Boy. And Eli Manning went to 4 Pro Bowls.
Yeah, so wrong.
But still, I mean, not that it matters.
No.
Never an All-Pro.
No.
But he's a 2-time Super Bowl MVP.
Quarterback.
Yeah. There's not a comparison between Eli Manning and Keenan McCardell. I'm sorry.
Well, nice try. I mean, I appreciate the effort. And I appreciate the fact that you can pull 2 stats out and say, oh, look, they're the same.
Same guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Straight Pepper says, tired of waiting for Hines Ward to get in. Top 10 in every category with 2 rings on primarily a running team. Also, maybe the best blocking receiver.
Good.
And that's a guy that I think you can make a really good case for. I don't know why. Yeah, but the problem is you get back to receivers, and there's guys like Isaac Bruce and, you know, Torrey Holt that –
Those guys are still waiting.
Yeah, they put up ridiculous numbers, and it's kind of... The fact that they made T.O. wait a year...
It's such garbage.
It is. And maybe also, that was personal.
It certainly was. I mean, because there's no way to justify it otherwise. But, I mean, guys like Isaac Bruce, Steve Smith is still on the wait list. Reggie Wayne isn't in yet.
Yeah, and
Andre Johnson's going to be in the discussion.
And then when Larry Fitzgerald finally retires, he's definitely, I mean, I think he goes to the top.
Oh, he's a lock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anquan Boldin is going to be in the conversation. It's just tough, man. It's a tough nut to crack. And I mean, the reality, there's guys, Julio Jones climbing the charts every year. He'll be a guy to discuss. And then they haven't even started discussing Calvin Johnson, I don't think.
Yeah, and that's going to be an interesting one because
he's the first of these guys who really walked away without putting together a full career, but it was pretty obvious that he's better than everybody else.
Yeah, well, that's what it's going to come down to is his team never had a ton of success with him, so that's going to be an issue. His numbers aren't going to quite match up because he didn't play long enough, but for his 9 years, there probably wasn't a better wide receiver in the league. So that's what it comes down to. But again, I think these guys will look.
Well, by the way, his 9 years, you know how many years Keenan McCardell played? 15.
Yeah.
You know who's got more receiving yards? Calvin Johnson.
No, don't pull out stats like that. That's not fair. It's not fair. You only pulled out one stat.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and I think, though, that
Calvin Johnson's a Hall of Famer because he's one of the best wide receivers I've ever seen. But I also understand that, well, he didn't do it for long enough. I mean, I think it's stupid.
Yeah, but, I mean, I said, you know how these guys think. And listen, I don't really believe Eli is good enough.
I don't either, but he's going to get in.
But, yeah, he is. And
the way I look at the Hall of Fame is, were you at some point for a decent stretch of time considered the best in the league at your position? And if that's the case, then you should be in the discussion. Eli Manning... No one ever said, oh, yeah, Eli Manning, he's right there with Peyton and Tom Brady.
Engineered two of the great upsets, probably the greatest upset.
It's going to get him in. Is it fair? I don't know. Is it, like, when I think about, is it fair considering Joe Namath and Terry Bradshaw are in? That probably makes it fair.
Well, and this always, I go back to this with the baseball hall. I go back to this with all of them. My hall would be a lot smaller than both of these. I mean, and it really should be reserved for the legends of the game.
But I do think guys like Calvin Johnson and more recent examples, Luke Kuechly and Rob Gronkowski, they're going to be looked at differently, but they definitely have to be looked at. Like, those are the guys, like, Luke Kuechly, basically every year he played in the league, was one of the best linebackers in the league, one of the two or three best guys. Rob Gronkowski from day one was the best tight end in the league. Like, you can't just, well, they didn't play long. They were better than everybody for their entire careers.
Well, and what's interesting about the way this works is they all get in a room and somebody has to make a case for the guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are all the cases that I would be making for them. But I don't know if they'll, I don't know that that will fly. Fair or not. Kiddies, look at that. Look, that defense was the AL South champions. That's enough for the McNair standard of excellence, so it should be good enough for you. You're right, man. I'm all about just hanging those AFC South banners. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Somebody brings up a good point. What about Joe Flacco? I think...
I don't think it's going to work for him.
Yeah, I think that one run that he had isn't quite going to be enough. The rest of his career was just below average, especially after that.
Yeah. And not that Eli's isn't, but Eli did it twice.
He did it twice, and he beat the Patriots.
And Lamont says, and he says, not that I care or it means anything, but wasn't one of Eli's MVPs controversial? Seems like I remember something about someone else deserved it. The first one, you could have made an argument that Michael Strahan should have got it. I think he had two sacks or something like that in the game. But that was the game that the Patriots were like 13-point favorites. That was the undefeated Patriots.
Right.
And that was the helmet catch game. And there was the Plaxico Burress catch and then the helmet catch. Like, there was no way they were going to give it to someone other than Eli.
Yeah.
And he had, I mean, he had an okay game. I think he hit two touchdowns and a pick. But those two plays alone were enough to do it. And then the second championship for the Giants, he actually had a really good game, like close to 300 yards. But the fact that they beat the Patriots, the unbeaten, you know,
yeah, unbeatable
greatest
Patriots.
Team of all time, Patriots. I don't know. I'm not surprised they gave it to him.
And let's squeeze on Troy real quick, then we'll get to our gym of the day.
So, hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
Okay, my problem with all of the Hall of Fames is that when they started the Hall of Fame ideas, the sports writers told everybody all the information. But now we get to see it. So they can keep T.O. out all they want. We saw this guy was great. They could put Eli in all they want. But we watched Eli in his, like, 15 years, and we knew he was average. We knew that Keenan McCarter was average. So they could be, like, the Baseball Hall of Fame. We know that Bonds was good even before he juiced up. So they can be all crackety all they want and feel important, but they're no longer important because we watched all the games.
Yeah, but the difference is when you can sign your name, Hall of Fame class of this, you instantly become more valuable as a brand, as a player. So while I'm sure, you know, if there's a guy you think should be in and they're not, that they probably feel good that you feel that way, but they're trying to make as much money as they can. Like a guy I saw the other day, Drew Pearson, who didn't get in, and I didn't see Drew Pearson play. I mean, I know Drew Pearson for one play, really, but from all accounts, he was a really solid player for a long time, was really important to the Cowboys' success in that era, the Staubach era, but he was like devastated that he didn't get in. He had like a 10-year career. His numbers are solid. But the reason why it upsets him so much is because the earning potential for these guys, particularly these retired guys who didn't get the mega contracts, it's a big deal to them.
To his point, though, that everybody gets to see everything now, and he's right about that. It used to be, here's what the sports writer said when it was, but there were, you could see those guys on TV, especially in the playoffs, and that's why I think the Hall was always skewered towards, because sports writers don't watch every game, and the guys who were voting don't, at the time, didn't get to see every game. You got to see your local team, and then you got to see in the playoffs whoever was there.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's a fair point that you have access to all of it now. But you know, the factors haven't really changed as to who gets in. So, I mean, it's an interesting thought. But now, I mean, you want to go back to the 50s, then yes, you're 100% right. Because people didn't watch games on TV, so is what the sports writer said. But, I mean, when I was growing up, and I think by now, you know, a 50-year sample size should be enough. It was, you watch the Oilers or the Cowboys. Sometimes you could watch both. But if they were playing at the same time, it was always the Oilers. And in the playoffs, you got to see all the playoff games on TV.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And you can see everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think if you look at it, the guys who were making the Hall of Fame were all those Steelers because they were in the playoffs every year. And it wasn't just fans, sports writers didn't get to watch all those games. So they would see Jack Ham and all these legendary Steelers on TV, or the Raiders. The Raiders were always there. So anyway, 713-780-ESPN is your number. And now I think the hardest thing is, like, okay, what about a wide receiver from the 80s versus a wide receiver now, the stats they put up, running backs from then versus now.
Yeah.
Everything's changed so much. And I think you have to take all that into account. And I kind of do think that because, yeah, you can look at some of these quarterbacks that are in the Hall of Fame from those years, and a lot of them have under 50% completion percentage and upside down on interceptions.
So I guess my biggest issue is when like when guys are rewarded for just having a really long career. Like if you're pretty good for long enough, you get in. And there's guys, do you know who's third on the all-time rushing list now? Frank Gore.
Wow.
Right behind Emmitt Smith and Walter Payton, right ahead of Barry Sanders and Adrian Peterson. The difference is those other four guys, at one point or another, we all looked at them as the best running back in the world.
Right.
No one's ever said, you know who the best running back in the league is? Frank Gore. But people are going to say at the end of his career, well, look at the numbers. I mean, he'll probably play next year.
I think he's probably got at least one more year, maybe two left.
If he plays two more years, he might pass Walter Payton. I mean, is Frank Gore a Hall of Famer?
Oof.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
Yeah, but if you get that far, then he's going to be in that conversation. But, I don't think of him as one, no.
Like, there's a couple guys, like, in the top 25 of rushing yards that I'm like, that guy? Fred Taylor is 17th on the all-time rushing list, just behind Thurman Thomas. He's ahead of O.J. Simpson. Is Fred Taylor a Hall of Famer? Is Corey Dillon a Hall of Famer?
No, those guys were really good.
Warrick Dunn?
No.
Those are guys in the top 25 of all-time career rushing yards. And don't get me started on when we get to quarterbacks. There's going to be some guys that played recently that their numbers are going to be crazy compared to the all-time quarterbacks. So where are we going to draw the line? You know, like, do you just say, well, they put up the most numbers. We got to put them in.
Yeah.
It sounds tough to me. I mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be those guys.
Joe Flacco's in the top 25 all-time of passing yards, ahead of Jim Kelly.
And he did something Kelly didn't.
That's true. How about this? Jim Kelly and Jay Cutler, their careers are separated by 300 passing yards. Has it ever even crossed your mind that Jay Cutler could potentially be a Hall of Famer? No.
I didn't even want him as my quarterback.
No way.
You were the one who loved Jay Cutler. I was like, I don't want that guy.
You know who's top 10 in passing yards all time already? And this is a guy who's still got some career left to go. Matt Ryan.
Yep.
Somebody
just asked about him.
Look at it like that. You're saying basically Matt Ryan's already a lock for the Hall of Fame. He's 300 yards away from passing John Elway in passing yards. So you have to adjust the standard, I feel
I think they will. I think you're going to find that these guys that you're talking about, unless they win a Super Bowl to go along with the stats, I don't think it's going to be enough. Either that or you've got to be Drew Brees with the record for touchdowns.
Drew Brees, to me, is an easy one.
Yeah, he is, but let's say he didn't win that Super Bowl. He still, to me, is a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Because he's put up records.
He wouldn't be in the discussion for greatest of all time.
No, but I think for that, he's going to have to get another one.
I do, too. Well, I don't know if anybody can beat what Brady's done. As far as, like, all-time credentials. But if you want to be in the conversation, like the top five list, I don't know if Drew Brees is there without a Super Bowl. He's fringe. Well,
he's Dan Marino is what he is.
Right.
So he's a Hall of Famer. But I don't know. I think he's in anyway, but I don't think there's any doubt about it now. All right.
God, some of these, top 40 all-time in passing yards, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Top 45 all-time, Andy Dalton. Dude, we're in trouble with these numbers.
Well, I think people will take that into consideration. And I also think that running backs that maybe that are great that don't have the huge numbers will get more consideration in this era, comparatively speaking.
Alex Smith, more passing yards than Steve Young.
Yeah,
it's going to be crazy.
And nobody thinks of Alex Smith as a big-time passer, right?
No.
So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.